bills and haven't been very successful in ironing out two of the major differences, the amount of money and the, whether it's going to be a sales tax increase or not. So with that, I took it upon myself to put together a proposal coming from the House side. And basically what we have before us in the 806-1704 amendment, pretty much the House language on the dedication for game and fish, 1/8 of 1% coming from existing sales tax revenues, pretty much the same issues that we've had, and also in Article 2, and that's one question, in Article 2, we separate out an additional 1/8 of 1% for the arts, parks, trails, and the public broadcasting. And that would be a sales tax increase of 1/8 of 1%. It's additional money to clean water, parks, trails, arts, and public radio, or public broadcasting. It would amount to, and we have a chart here that Mr. Reinholz has put together. I haven't had a chance to look at that, but I believe with the 1/8 of 1%, we're capturing about $90 million, about $70 million would go to clean water, 20% divided in half, 10% each to trails and parks, and 10% to public broadcasting and arts. That would amount to approximately $9 million each, I believe. So that's the proposal, members, and I would move the A06-1704 amendment for adoption. Discussion. Senator Sam.
The clean water would be the above and beyond the 6.5%, is that correct?
Senator Sam, that would be correct.
And that would be how much money?
Well, we can look at Mr. Reinholz, could you go through your chart? I believe it's approximately $70 million annually.
Mr. Chairman, members should have a spreadsheet that was distributed, and this House proposal is listed as number 2. It's the column on the far right. You'd see the estimated amount of money is $92,300,000. For each of the 1/8, 1/8 of it going into the Clean Water, Parks, Trails, Arts, and Public Broadcasting Fund, and 1/8, which is $92,300,000, into the Game and Fish Preservation Fund. The distribution of those dollars, then, the Heritage Enhancement Fish and Wildlife would be $92,300,000, the entire amount that goes into that Game and Fish Preservation Fund. Parks and Trails would be $9,230,000, Clean Water Fund then $73,840,000, and the Arts $9,230,000, the total being $184,600,000. This is calculated just as the previous spreadsheet was. It's using the Department of Revenue's estimate for fiscal year 09 and a full year worth of revenue.
Chair.
Representative Hill.
And so in this 1704, all of the money is additional money on top of existing budgets, not to supplant but to add to it.
Representative Dill, in the Article 1, it's 1/8 of 1% from existing funds. It is not a tax increase.
All right, but
and there's supplant, you cannot supplant.
Supplant, yes. That's what I want to know.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Additional
question?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Let me start out. There's been some discussion floating around about this proposal, and with some discussion, obviously this first I've seen it, but there's been some discussion about a couple of ballot questions and a mixture of existing money and new money. So let me just start out. I thought I'd do a little bit of research, and I don't get enough. My law partners want me to stay away from the office when we're in session because they think I'm so confused with trying to invent new laws that don't work. They don't want me to kind of pollute the law office. So at the risk of mixing and matching, I took a look with some help at a couple of the cases, and it seems to me that the Wingate case, it's kind of an old case, but it seems to me it would prohibit this two-question approach. As I understand, maybe somebody at the table can help me. I don't know how many. I think Representative De La Forest, we don't know each other, but I think you're a lawyer as well, so maybe you can help out. But as I understand the Wingate case, the Supreme Court was asked to enjoin the submission on the ballot of two questions where the questions were considered an alteration of each other. And I believe the perspective of the court was this will confuse the voters and it shouldn't be submitted as a consequence. And I think that case, it was cited in another case, which was about 30 years ago, that was a local referendum, I think it was in Duluth, where the Supreme Court cited the Wingate case as precedent. And I think in the case of the Duluth case, the local referendum, the Supreme Court said this one was okay because it didn't violate the principle of the Wingate case. So I guess what concerns me is that if we submit two ballot questions, what's the possibility that somebody's going to walk into court who doesn't like this and will say, based on Wingate, just rule this off the ballot? And I'm not being facetious in suggesting this, but apologies to the House members, but we are now going through a situation in the state where the Senate last year acquiesced to the House in regard to the tobacco tax and or fee, and now we're waiting for a decision on the part of the Supreme Court as to whether or not that's allowable. And I think for anybody who's sincere about trying to see this happen this year, to leave that to chance in that fashion strikes me as being inadvisable. The other comment I'd make is on this question of the division of half new money, half existing money. And I don't think it's any secret in this place that there are groups opposed to this effort. And, on either side, I think some of the associations, groups who have concerns of this being taken from existing revenue would oppose it. And certainly, possibly, although I haven't heard from them, possibly some of the business groups would oppose a new tax. So it seems to me if you're going to make people angry, you should just kind of pick one group as opposed to having everybody shoot at it. Connects metaphors. But those are a couple concerns I have when I've heard the discussion of this floating around. And so I don't think they would... But I'm particularly concerned about this question of two ballot questions. I think it stands a real chance of being picked off the ballot before it's ever submitted to voters. But I don't know if anybody on the House side would like to respond to the constitutional concerns.
Well, Senator Cohen, I'd like to respond to the tax issue for one thing, starting out there. These are some concerns that folks said that they needed some more money. They thought that it could get done with a tax increase. The part that I'm concerned about, the part for game and fish, we never wanted that to be a tax increase. That is separated out. We set that aside. We'll take that from existing money. But folks felt that we had to have a tax increase to address some of these other issues. Clean water, the arts, parks and trails, and that's what we've given here in this package. That's the one issue. As far as the constitutional question, I think you might be referring to another question that we had where we had two questions where one might depend on the other for passage. And this doesn't do that. We had a proposal that was floating around that said, do you support, yes or no, this concept? Where you'd have a chance to vote yes or no. And then the next question would be, should it come from a tax increase or not? And I can see where there'd be constitutional question on that issue. And there is a problem with that. And I have some great concerns of that myself, and I do believe that that would be challenged in court. But what we have before us today is one amendment, essentially one bill that we'd be voting on, that has two entirely different issues to it. One's the constitutional question, whether we're going to dedicate money to game and fish, and the other question are about other issues and other subjects. So I don't think there could ever be a constitutional question on these two questions being on the same ballot.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might, let me just quote from a paragraph in the Wingate case, and I'm assuming nobody has talked to anybody who belongs to the Supreme Court relative to this, but does the proposed amendment, Chapter 420, Laws of 1931, contain two alterations or amendments? If it does, the last sentence of Section 1, Article 14 of the Constitution forbids the submission. A brief, two or more alterations or amendments shall be submitted at the same time. It shall be so regulated the voter shall vote for or against you separately, where similar language exists in state constitutions, courts have declared the requirement mandatory. Now, you and I can debate whether or not this fits or doesn't fit, but boy, it would seem to me that's not a risk this conference committee would want to take. Because, you know, we can argue, and that's the nature of appellate work, and I haven't done a lot of that. But you can argue, either side. But I don't think this conference committee is going to come up. I don't know if there are any constitutional scholars sitting around here. I don't think this conference committee is going to come up with anything definitive, insofar as the interpretation of Wingate. And how would we all feel, as we have, when the Ramsey County District Court declared the cigarette fee to be invalid? We're going through this convoluted process in the budget process, and we're going to start the conference committee tomorrow for the supplemental finance bill, and we're going to look at contingent appropriations and money added to the reserve based upon the what if of what the Supreme Court does. And how would we like it if come July the Ramsey County District Court says, nah, can't do it? Why would we want to risk that? Why would we want to do that?
Well, Senator Cohen, I think we pass laws during session every single day that could be questioned by the state Supreme Court.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly my point. Why would
we do it every day?
Why would we want to risk that? I mean,
well, then we shouldn't be passing any laws here, and but we should have a total democracy here rather than a representative form of government.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm encouraged by what you've brought to us, because when we met the first time, I think we could all see there's some very significant differences between the two approaches. The Senate was all additional sales tax. The House was from within. The Senate had more features being funded. And I was wondering how we're going to start moving towards a compromise and coming together. And I think what you brought before us here is a very, very positive step. Now, I need to fully understand, what it is we're doing, and I think Senator Cohen has raised a legitimate concern. He's obviously done a little bit of a study on this, but I'm encouraged by what you have brought to us, and I want to spend some time fully understanding it, see where the appropriations are going, what level of funding that would leave these very essential programs for the state of Minnesota. And maybe we can come together and get this on the ballot. That's my goal, and that's my take on what you brought to us.
Well, thank you, Senator Frederickson. And, all the details are not in the bill. We need to get a couple of questions on the ballot, and that's my ultimate goal. Get these questions on the ballot, and we can work on the statutory language to enact these two questions should the voters approve them. So not all the details are in the bill. I think we've got most of the enabling language for the Article 1. I've worked for a number of years to come up with this language for Article 1. We don't have all the language we need in Article 2 to implement Article 2, and we need to work on that. I think the House is going to have some language moving separately for the clean water legacy that we could implement with this. So I thank you for your comments. I really believe that the House has come a long ways to the Senate's position on this, and we tried to be fair. You know, it's kind of my issue, the game and fish portion, and separating that out in one question. And then, well, if we want to do a tax increase, and the Senate wants a tax increase for the other issues, well, let's do that. We increased the amount. We increased it to 1/8. We only had 1/16 for clean water, and we had a smaller amount for arts and public broadcasting and parks and trails. Now they're getting more money for this. Should the voters approve it? I think we've come a long way. And I think the House has given up a lot to come to the, toward the Senate position. We've also, in this amendment, 1704, given up the Olson Amendment that was in our bill that said that we're not going to raise taxes or fees for the next 7 years. And I think that's something that some of our members might be upset about when we bring this back. So I just wanted to explain that portion of the bill and how that
certainly,
will
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. I think that Olson Amendment would have headed us to the Supreme Court for sure.
Representative Cornish.
I guess, Mr. Chair, members, my thoughts kind of echo yours. Senator Cohen, I don't really consider this an alteration of the same question. I consider it, you know, two separate and distinct questions. I think we meet that threshold where it doesn't apply to the alteration of the question. There's two really different questions. And as far as the constitutional threat, I don't know how many times I've heard that this year in committee and on the floor. It seems like we're getting constitutional wary here ever since it happened a couple of years ago with the handgun bill. Now, every time we're on the committee or on the floor, somebody threatens that this could wind up in court and we should alter it. And it's going to be impossible to get the perfect question on the degree between us. I think we've got to get as close as we can, but we could come up with alterations and argue about them all night. But I like this idea of putting the basic question to the people. The first one, as it really started out, I think should be kept separate out of respect for the people that started this arrangement and for the ones, you know, you heard me saying the other day about jumping on the train. That did kind of aggravate me, but the importance of the whole question has brought me back, and it's like pulling hen's teeth to get me to come this far, because I didn't want any of these things on there, or even face the possibility of a tax. And so I'm personally myself come a long way back towards your folks' position, and I just like putting this basic question out to the people and decide. I think that's an attractive option.
And Mr. Chairman, a couple things. Just let me echo Senator Ferguson's comments. I started with a negative concern. I just wanted to put that out there, but certainly I would share what Senator Ferguson has suggested, that we appreciate the House working hard on this and making some movement. And I'm sure the Senate will take that effort and try to work from that. I just kind of a parenthetical side of some quarters should allow me. Because one of the things we have to have about technology and people involved, I actually passed an asteroid dedication off the Senate floor in 1993. So, you know, for taking numbers as whom is in line first, I did that 13 years ago. And that was for culture. So, I didn't get far with the house then, so I like this house a little bit better than that old house. But Senator Ferguson was a member of the division, member of the conference committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Cohen, certainly I'm not familiar with the case you cite, but if you give me the citation, I'd be happy to take a look at it. But, Mr. Chairman, I do think you've got an outstanding amendment here that, from a policy perspective, or even if I say a political perspective, tries to bridge the gap and tries to meet the difference. I mean, this is always a process of compromise. We represent diverse areas here at this table, but I believe we have some common goals, and I appreciate your effort to make an effort to reach those common goals. And if I might, Senator Cohen, I'd be the first one to side with you that if I thought that a law that we were passing was blatantly unconstitutional, I would be the first one to stand with you and say that we shouldn't do that. But, for example, it's one of the reasons why I voted against the tobacco tax increase. I had suspicions. There were some of us in this body who had suspicions about it before it was passed. But another thing, I also encourage my colleagues here, you know, we have our own role to play in the Constitution here. I mean, we are a separate coordinate branch of government, and I get a little bit concerned whenever we seem to be sort of afraid of the judicial branch, and sometimes I get concerned. You know, we are charged with making the laws. we need to sort of stick up, if you will, for the legislative branch. We have our own duty to fulfill. And I get a little nervous sometimes when your colleagues say, well, I'm not sure if we should do this. The courts might not like it. Well, I have a lot of respect for my colleagues over in the judicial branch, but we have our own role to fulfill, and it's just as equal as a judge's role in making our Constitution work and our system of government to work. And so, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I want to review that case you talked about, but I certainly don't see any issues at first blush regarding your two constitutional issues, and I think it's a good way to start. And whether you're a Democrat, Senator, Republican, House member, you know, let's stick up for the Constitution and do what we think is right in making public policy and not be so afraid, so to speak, of what our friends in the judicial branch might think.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I think, as Chairman Representative LaCour said, I appreciate your comment, and don't misunderstand me. I don't suggest that we ought to walk away from anything we want to do in this legislature. I've been here for a long time. And I don't suggest we ought to walk away from things we want to do because we have some fear of what a court may or may not do. I think in this instance, as I read the case law, I have some concerns. Now, you and I could differ on that. Certainly, and you know, we're not going to be obviously the final arbiter in that regard. I just think, given the work people put into this and the effort, we know that there are people who want to will be opposed to this, no matter what happens, no matter what this conference committee does. There'll be people, groups, associations, whatever, out there opposed to this. You know, we've heard the arguments in terms of whether this is a good idea in terms of fiscal policy. You know, carving out a dedication, whether with existing or new revenue. You know, we're all familiar with those arguments. So somebody is going to walk into court. It's inevitable. And why do we even, you know, leave that as a chance for it to happen? I mean, just, you know, again, think of the circumstance if after the hard work that Representative Hackbarth and Senator Sands have done on this issue, if come July, there was an adverse court opinion. So I'm not suggesting that I have the definitive answer. Don't misunderstand me in that regard. But I do have some apprehension. And but I don't suggest you know, having authored a lot of bills around this place and voted for, I don't know, thousands of bills over the years. No, I don't sit there at my desk on the floor of the Senate or when I had a desk on the floor of the House saying, what's the Supreme Court going to do with this? But this one, I do have some concerns.
Senator Cohen, I'd be more concerned about a bill that has to do with hunting and fishing and angling and conservation and wildlife habitat, having arts and humanities and zoos and public radio and those kind of things added to it, being constitutional and having, you know, more than one subject to it and having that question, more than what we have here where we have two distinct different constitutional questions.
Mr. Chairman, a constitutional amendment...
I understand the difference between a constitutional amendment and a bill, but it's still similar concerns to me.
Okay.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Chairman Hackbarth, and I echo Senator Frederickson in complimenting you on putting these ideas together. Particularly as a good means of discussion. And I just want to make sure I have this straight so that we've got two separate questions on the ballot. So it's possible both could succeed, both could fail, or one or the other could come out.
That's correct, Senator Sexton.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. Well, echoing a theme here, I see some things I like, and I see some things I, you know, maybe I'm not so crazy about, but I thank you for bringing some ideas forward so that we can chew on them. You know, I don't know, Mr. Chair, if I'm yet crazy about taking from existing because, of course, you know, as we've all probably talked about 100 times, we're worried about all the other things that come out of the general fund and what that would compete with. But I do like the fact that you get pretty darn close for game and fish purposes to what the Senate had originally proposed, that it's $94 million. If this raises $92.3 million. And you certainly put a lot more in to clean water purposes, 73 versus the original 60 in the original Senate proposal. So I like that, and I have some friends in the room who probably like that a lot. Not so crazy about having to divvy up $9.2 million among all the arts and culture purposes, which I don't view as ride-alongs or add-ons. I think for putting $92 million into people's preferred pastimes, coming in at 10% of that for what a whole lot of other folks like to do, probably doesn't strike me as quite equitable. Additionally, the parks and trails position, probably not surprised by how I feel about those things. But echoing Senator Fredrickson's theme here, there's stuff that we can start working with and talking about. And if anything, if anyone in this place can get something done, you and me.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple nuts and bolts type questions.
Sure.
On the first article, in Section 4, it just says the Budgetary Oversight Commission shall allocate expenditures. Does that allocation come in the form of a recommendation to the legislature to make the appropriation, or would there be an open and standing appropriation that they would actually allocate?
Senator Fredrickson, my intent is that the legislature would appropriate the money, and then they would decide where the money would be spent.
So, Mr. Chairman, in any event, the legislature would be in the loop there of deciding.
Right. That's my intent. We need to change that. We have to either say it now or change it after the question passes. But that would be my intent, that the legislature would appropriate the money to the fund. If it's just a, I don't know what you want to call it, just pass through the legislature and appropriate it to the fund. I mean, we have some funds like that now.
And Mr. Chairman, so this would then require some additional statutory lead
to
do that.
To make that happen, correct.
Now, a parallel question in Article 2, the money for the clean water, that would go to the Clean Water Fund. I understand how that would work. That would end up being the recommendation of the legislature and then appropriation. But I'm not sure how the Parks and Trails money would be allocated. And then also the arts and public broadcasting. There would be.
That's correct, Senator Fredrickson. We did not put enabling language in this particular bill about how that is to happen. We thought that we could get the question on the ballot and then make those statutory changes after the question should pass.
And Mr. Chairman, the Clean Water Legacy delineates how that would be done with the Clean Water.
There's the Clean Water Project. Legacy policy issue is moving through the House separately.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Further discussion? Senator Point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. I understand that the House position, the original House position had been, and I asked a question about this at the time of the previous meeting, that where the heritage money or the, I guess we set the Heritage Council.
Right.
But the money, I'll call it the honey fishing money, the 1/8 out of existing revenue begins July 1st, 2009. In the second part, where you have the tax raise, that also starts 2009. Is there a reason why that wouldn't begin in 2007?
Senator Pullen, if you want to change that to 2007, I'm fine with that. Just the way I have it in our
book.
Okay. So I'd like to keep the Game and Fish Park 2009.
And Mr. Chairman, let me ask another question. This is a little bit of a touchy subject, Ted Mike. And I don't know if this is different. Given the way you've structured the proposal where you have it half and half, but you continue the House language about no non-commercial radio station. I want to just simply argue a brief for what's something that's aimed at NPR, but they advertise they have like 1 million listeners around the state. We all know that they've been going after this language. But does that raise any concern that if they continue to do that in August, September, October, and suggest a few of these measures that would be a concern?
I'd like to echo Senator Cohen's concern. Senator Representative.
Yeah, I think Senator Cohen is referring to on page 6, lines 23 through 26. That specific language specifically excludes NPR, and I echo his concern about that and about that language staying in this amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I recognize that, you know, there's tension between public broadcasting and the commercial stations, I think, whether, you know, radio or television. But where somebody's got a pretty loud voice or microphone, I don't know if that it kind of gets back to my question about you know, the existing versus new revenue. Somebody's going to be going after this thing. And should we try to minimize opposition at the front end?
Well, Senator Cohen, then I would suggest that we take off all public broadcasting.
Mr. Chair, I guess rather than take out all public broadcasting, I think we're including everybody but one specific entity, and I think maybe it would be in our best interest in terms of those who want to get support for this particular ballot question that we don't specifically target one area of public broadcasting but treat everybody the same by including them all, not by excluding them all.
In other words, you pay them off so they don't squawk?
I don't think I'd put it quite that way.
Well, I mean, that's kind of blunt, but I mean, here we are talking about giving them money so they don't oppose us. Maybe that's one of the problems with that radio station.
Well, I think part of the problem is that we've created an enemy rather than I think what we've done here is they might not have said anything at all, but here we're including everybody. If your daughter is the only girl in the class not invited to the birthday party, she's pretty upset. And that's what we've done is we've wounded the bear here, and we're not trying to hush them up with money. We're the ones that awakened them here.
But we wouldn't comply with the law, we need less.
I have no knowledge of what you're talking about.
Further discussion? Mr. Chairman, thanks for this offer here. We really appreciate that. I think we've gone a long way since the last conference committee. And our conference committee would like to digest this. We're going to get together tomorrow, take a look at what you put together here, and I think that we'll try to get together with the conference committee on Monday. We can do that. I think we've gone a long ways. We appreciate what you've done here.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a great commitment for that you've done for us. And it looks to me like we're going to be able to do something together and get it done. So I think this has been very, very fruitful, and I appreciate that. And I really do. And I think our conferees have said that and appreciate that what you've done. So this is good. I think it's very positive. I feel like we're going to be able to put this thing together.
Well, so, thank you, Senator Sam. I really do appreciate that. And I know that you realize that we have come a long ways from where I really and truly want to be. And so I really do appreciate the comments of all the senators, and I hope that we can come to an agreement and work with what we've got here and maybe tweak it a little bit, try to make it better from what we've got. Anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the amendment or have any comments that would like to speak? Any other reps or senators that have anything they'd like to say? Welcome to the conference committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Schwartz, and I am the president of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. Thank you very much, Representative Hackbarth. This is truly innovative, and you will have the full support of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance getting this thing out of committee and to the floor for a vote. It is a courageous step, and this can be an historic event that we all can be very proud of. We will support you, sir. Thank you again.
Mr. Schroers,
if you don't mind, the conversation that you and I had yesterday. You folks, you probably haven't been lobbied much on this bill since our last conference committee, and I had a conversation with Mr. Schwarz. Why aren't the hunting and fishing people here lobbying for this bill yesterday? And he said, give me a product to sell. And I hope you think you have a product to sell.
We absolutely have a product that we can sell, not only to the floor, but on the ballot. I think we've got something that's a winner here. I fully support it.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Okay, Senator Sands, we'll be meeting on Monday.
That's where we're going to
discuss what you might come up with to our proposal.
That'll be it.
Okay, members, sounds like we're going to be meeting on Monday. Meeting adjourned.